Psalm 127, a psalm of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Lord, as we do consider a familiar psalm filled with wonder, do teach us, do encourage us, rebuke us where we need to be rebuked, and make us more and more like Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Those human beings God had created said in Genesis 11, let's build a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. Lest make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Very next chapter, God says, Abram, go. Obey me, you obey me, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Well, there's a contrast, and in so much of the early chapters of the Bible, we do see contrasts made that then last throughout the rest of the Scripture, and you might even say the rest of history. Except the Lord build, or unless the Lord builds the house, then those who build labor in vain. Or as our catechism says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. In the Bible, when it talks about building a house, it might mean building a structure, but it also means, in a larger sense, a dispensation or a system, that is a project, a calling, a vocation, building what God calls you to build, being contributing, participating in the work he calls you to do. And so the point is, whatever you're called to build, whatever you're called to contribute to in your life, with God's blessing, it's going to be successful, satisfying, glorifying to him. But without God, leaving God out, it will be as Solomon. I know you know that I mentioned Solomon is the one that this is attributed to. Without God's blessing, it's useless, it's meaningless, it's vanity. And Solomon certainly knew about that. And so in this psalm, Solomon, who knew, he knew very well about work, about wisdom, about life, about leaving God out. He knew about home life. Well, this psalm actually encourages the legitimacy and the value of our work, of our callings, of our homes, as we do this work unto the Lord. Well, let's think about building the community, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to use the word community to kind of encompass the big scope of things, building the community. I've already introduced it as it introduces itself. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It continues, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Okay, in building the community, Solomon notes at least five futile pursuits, vain pursuits, if you do them without God. Laboring to build the house. In other words, laboring at your calling without God will ultimately prove futile. He goes to a further that's even helps us to be more vivid in the sense of the contrast of doing it with or without the Lord. He says, unless the watchman, so laboring to build a house, number two, guarding a city. In terms of the building of the community, doing this without God is in vain. Laboring to build your house, guarding the city. Guarding the city, the guard stands or he's staying watch to make sure those behind him that no evil forces can come in and penetrate. He's watching. He should do this. This is the right thing to do. But if he thinks that without the help of God, the Creator, then it's in vain. Because if God's not watching over the city with him, then he will not be successful. The evil that desires to penetrate the city will do so. Further, it's in vain without God to rise up early. If you're getting up early to do your work and you're leaving God out of it, Solomon says it, it's in vain. That feeling of grogginess, kind of dizziness, you know, when you get up early and you're trying to get yourself awake, doing that without the Lord, he says, meaningless. Staying up late. And we often do these together, don't we? I know that, you know, My I'll throw it in right now. My application, I was reading Charles Spurgeon on, and he didn't write a whole lot. It's just a few verses. But boy, when he wrote about this, it was applying to me, you know, my lack of faith that I'll stay up late and I'll get up early because I don't trust God. That's why. I don't trust that he's given me enough hours in the day. So staying up late. And typically we do them together. We stay up too late and then we get up too early. We don't have enough sleep. So we're not functioning right. We're not in good health. Without God, it's in vain. And then he says, eating the bread, he calls it of anxious toil. You see, it, embedded in that statement is a lack of faith. So doing things, in many cases that we ought to do, I think we have to admit, rising up early, staying up late, there's certain times to do that. I think I would say if that's your prevailing way and just leaving God out, then that's in vain. That's probably why you have to keep doing it. Why you keep staying up late and keep getting up early. Obviously, there's certain jobs that start early. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a way of life of anxious toil. Now, he doesn't say not to work. Okay, Solomon himself worked on his house for 13 years, on God's house for 7 years. He built walls and gates that still are bringing wonder to archaeologists. He worked. In fact, I'm having notes of some proverbs here that you know, obviously were the work of Solomon and other wise men. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Solomon said that too. He didn't say not to work. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. You see, when you're working in the Lord, he even brings up the ants, that the ants are a model, storing up provisions for the summer, like we ought to do. In fact, poverty comes if we don't work, a little sleep, a little slumber. I didn't say sleep all day. I didn't say go to bed early and sleep all day. A little slumber, a folding of the hands, and poverty comes. The sluggard won't plow in season, and so at harvest time he has nothing to eat. We're supposed to work, but we work acknowledging God. In fact, Oliver Cromwell, that famous saying comes from him, trust in God and keep your powder dry. And that one made me think of the one that we have from some, I think a children's book that we would listen to, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we all stay free. We do work, we do guard, we do look and watch. But the point is, who are you ultimately serving and why when you're building the community? So there's some positive things here about building the community I want to mention. God is at work. That's also embedded in the psalm, that God is at work. See, it says, unless the Lord builds, when you're building, he's building with you. When you're working. At home, doing your chores, when you're at the office, you know, working with the computer, working with people, plowing the land, hunting. The Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the Lord watches. When he rested from his creation, Jesus then tells us God is always at work. He's always working for us, for our good, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen, Ben Franklin, you know, some of these earlier, you know, we always are reminded that he's a deist, and maybe he was. Listen to what he said, though. Benjamin Franklin. I'm just going to read part of a quote. "I have lived for a long time, 81 years at the time he wrote this, or that he said this. And the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that, quote, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it," close quote. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall proceed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I tell you what, we have in some among our leaders have forgotten that Lord. Others are trying to recover it even now. Well, that's Benjamin Franklin. God is at work. Also, as we build the community, God makes our work meaningful. I want to quote Luther here on this one. Yes, God, Luther reminding us, and really Luther did great work in recovering the goodness of family and of labor, two of the things that this psalm talks about. He said, Luther asked the question, "Who put the silver and gold in the mountains? Who fertilized the soil of the field that is ripe with harvest of grain, grapes, and all sorts of produce? Who gave animals and birds the ability to reproduce, thereby providing food for men and women? God preceded us and laid out the blessing that people would later discover." So God makes our work meaningful. He actually puts things there for us to work with. And also God rewards our work for him. That's that thing about sleep. He gives, I didn't read it yet, the last part of verse 2. He gives to his beloved sleep. When you're working for the Lord, then you can lay down and go to sleep and find rest. And so in building the community, remember, God's at work. God makes our work meaningful. God rewards those who work for him. Or to summarize, we can read Colossians 3, 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, do work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance, your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So we may receive some rewards here, such as peaceful sleep, but we know we have a reward in heaven that is secure. And so we toil in and for the Lord. God works and we must work. Lay down and sleep well at night. But let's leave the outcome into his hands. He's the one who brings forth the fruit. He's the one who builds with us. He's the one who watches the city, even as we work toward building the community. Well, we also see the work of building the home, verses 3 to 5. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward." And so, building the home, we also, it is the Lord who is doing this. It's not just our livelihood, our housing, our job, our very breath, our nation's security. All these are gifts from God, but so are our children. We do not bring forth children by our own powers. Children are conceived because of God's power. There's some truth here. I want to list here some truths, just like I did for the first part, in terms of building the home. The growth of the family is God's work. This section is filled with references, you know, to the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, that being a reward from Him. Blessed, in other words, blessed by God is the one whose quiver is full of them. The growth of a family is God's work. Also, God's blessing on the city or on the community begins with His blessing in the home or in the family. Again, one of the things that we've seen throughout our lifetime, that building block, the family, disintegrating. And that really weakens our nation. And it would even, without God's help, weakens really everything in society. But with God's help, with God's people, with the church coming alongside those who need it, there is strengthening. But in general, God's blessing on the city begins with His blessing of the family. I want to read Luther again here. Again, you remember he was a monk who then got married, really turned the world upside down, at least the Western world. He says about this passage, "This passage alone should be enough to attract people to marriage, comfort all who are now married, and sap the strength of covetousness. Young people are scared away from marriage when they see how strangely it turns out. They say it takes a lot to make a home, or you learn a lot by living with a woman. This is because they fail to see who does this and why he does it. And since human ingenuity and strength know no recourse and can provide no help, therefore they hesitate to marry. As a result, they fall into unchastity if they do not marry, and into covetousness and worry if they do. But here is the needed consultation. Let the Lord build the house and keep it, and do not encroach upon His work. The concern for these matters is His, not yours. Does it take a lot to make a house? So what? God is greater than any house. He who fills heaven and earth will surely also be able to supply a house, especially since He takes the responsibility upon Himself and causes it to be sung to His praise." This really isn't helpful to me as I, think of my house and my fairly large quiver, an 18-year-old, one turning 16 tomorrow, wanting them to know the Lord. You know, the next thing, I'm saying God's blessing begins with His blessing of the family. My next part on this one is God. We cannot raise our families without God. I'm reminded again of that. And I want to, this psalm is inspiring me to want to have some revival even in my own home in seeking to live this out, this blessing that my children are a heritage, are a reward. I was thinking, in this room are some children who are a reward. What's your dad's name?
Bill.
Wouldn't Bill be say, indeed, his quiver is full if he could see his children taking care of their mother? Praise God for Bill's quiver. And there's others of you, too, who are doing the same thing in your life. It doesn't have to be parent and child. There's other relationships. I was thinking of another family. Usually sits right here. And of the way that they proclaim the blessing of the quiver, even in the challenges they face. With God, without God, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Praise God that He is the one committed to building the home. We cannot raise our families without God, but God's blessing on the city begins in the home. The growth of the family is God's work. And so let me just make a spiritual application beyond the community and the home to the church. God's building His church, and I think that's even embedded here in this. Through all this work and this building, God's building a spiritual house. This spiritual house is composed not of earthly materials, but of living stones, you and me. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. And with Abraham, we look toward an eternal city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. And the family is not merely our physical family, but our whole spiritual family, born not of the flesh, but of God. And so, friends, our work for and in the Lord on this earth is not in vain. By the way, my application, Anne, you heard I said children. Sons and daughters are part of the heritage, okay? I hope you caught that. I wasn't. In this spiritual family, our work is not in vain. Our work is for the Lord and in the Lord. At Babel, they sought to make a name for themselves without God. That ended in frustration, in vanity. That tower stood then as a testimony to the vanity of life without God. I close with this. The motto, listen to this, the motto of Edinburgh, Scotland. Or Edinburgh. Here's the motto of Edinburgh. It's on, you can look it up. It's on the coat of arms. Nisi Dominus Frustra. Without the Lord, frustration. Quote, Psalm 127:1 is on the motto of Edinburgh, Scotland. Without the Lord, frustration. It appears on its crest and it's affixed to the city's official documents. Without the Lord, frustration could be attached to many in this world trying to live their lives without the Almighty. Let that not be us. Let us be those who labor with the Lord as He builds, who watch with the Lord as He watches, and who, blessed in Him, find sleep and find rest. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You that You are always at work, working for our good. May we work for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive God's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up its countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.